Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Have you been at the doctor's office and you see a resident come in and start taking your child's temperature and you say, I want the real doctor, you know, or even possibly a nurse practitioner, but you're not really sure if those residents, whether they're trained or whether you want them or you want the doctor you expect. But are you getting adequate care? And probably you are. But we're going to find out from Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center. So, Dr. Murray, the I want the real doctor people, what is a teaching hospital? And are these doctors adequate to take care of our children?
Well, they are adequate because they're not working by themselves. So any physician and any nurse practitioner actually is a product of a teaching hospital. And what a teaching hospital looks like is actually changing quite a bit as these hospital systems start to form. So traditionally, these were hospitals that were affiliated with a university or a medical school, and then would go on to, after the people graduated from medical school with the degree of physician, would go on to then have additional training in their specialty. But lots of areas are starting to have hospitals that will train resident physicians but not necessarily be affiliated with a school. It's important to remember that these doctors are not operating by themselves. They are having some backup supervision. So what happens is these aren't people that just kind of say, I'm ready to be a doctor. These are people that have gone through college and then gone through the 4 years of medical school and then are doing additional training, as all physicians need to do, in their specialty. And there's usually about three big categories. People after medical school will say, all right, I want to focus in some type of pediatrics, or I want to take care of adults, or perhaps I want to be a surgeon. There's some other pathways people can take, but those are usually the big divisions. And once you start in that pathway, you're specializing. So you're going to be a pediatrician. You spend all of your time for a number of years caring only for children in a variety of arenas, whether it be at a pediatrician's office or in the emergency department or working with the pediatric surgeons, so that you have a full understanding of all the different medical experiences that a child and their family can go through. So these are people that are licensed physicians, are still getting more training. They are real doctors, but they're also definitely being supervised. They don't work by themselves. They have a person who's gone through all of the training, backing them up and hearing about every single patient and often coming in and seeing the patient alongside them.
You know what I like about a teaching hospital, which I had never really thought much about before, is that teaching hospitals also, those residents, keep your doctor on their toes, because it makes your doctor have to stay current and up to date, because these residents are fresh from medical school and they've got the latest information and technology to use that information. And maybe you've got one of your old pediatricians that's, you know, been around the block 50 times, and having a teaching hospital gets your doctor kind of on their toes, right? So what about using the nurse practitioner as opposed to using your pediatrician?
Nurse practitioners and physician assistants are great adjuncts, are great assistants in the whole medical arena, especially in primary care settings. Nurse practitioners can do lots and lots of education with regards to certain topics. They're often allowed to spend more time with families, going through anticipatory guidance, the regular things we expect your child to do in the next year or two after their visit. So their skill set is different. They come from a nursing background. They had been a nurse for a long period of time and then went through extensive training to go then be a nurse practitioner, meaning that they are allowed to prescribe medications, order x-rays, order things on their own, not just a physician placing that order, but a nurse practitioner has a degree where he or she can make those decisions on their own. And they're often excellent. They have specialties as well. There's pediatric nurse practitioners. There's even neonatal nurse practitioners who only work in intensive care nurseries. So these are highly trained individuals as well, and often work hand-in-hand in a lovely way with physicians.
Is it acceptable if you see that a child's uncomfortable, maybe they're in the hospital, Dr. Murray, and this happened to me when I was 13, and the doctor came in and it was just like Grey's Anatomy. There was like five residents around him, and I got very uncomfortable because there was all these residents standing around there. Now, as a parent standing there watching your child, is it okay to say, you know what, I don't want them here right now?
Yes, it is always okay. No one's goal is to make people feel uncomfortable. You know, in medicine, we always say only in our profession do we walk in a room and expect a person to feel comfortable getting completely undressed. That's bizarre. Nobody else would ever ask you to do that, but somehow as doctors, we seem to think that's okay. And so we want everybody to be comfortable. And, of course, having a huge number of people around you, especially a child who is ill and feeling unwell, that can be a very challenging situation. And so we want our physicians in training to learn what they can learn, but, of course, we want to respect the patient's autonomy, and comfort level is critical because, again, the goal here is to help that patient regain health, and making them scared, making them more uncomfortable is not going to help them on their pathway to health. So yes, people at all times have a right to say, I would like to just have one physician that I interact with.
Is there any studies that show better outcomes, shorter hospital stays at teaching hospitals? Do they have any kind of record or statistics about whether teaching hospitals are more up to date than the other kind of hospital?
You know, I'm not sure, of that. I know that because of the affiliation with medical centers and the larger centers, that those are centers that often track those types of outcomes. And so I'm not sure if it's a coincidence of the sheer fact of being a larger academic center or the fact that the teaching component is there. They are usually the hospitals that see the more complicated patients, do the more complicated surgeries, and have the most advanced technology. So it's certainly a different population of people that are being seen at those institutions.
And Dr. Murray, so in pediatrics specifically, and you're a pediatric emergency medicine physician, so, you know, I'm sure that teaching hospitals to you helped to really guide the way and give that up-to-date technology and all of that. So as a pediatrician, when we go into our pediatric office, we're talking at the hospital, but at the pediatric office, do residents serve there too with, you know, vaccines and helping with just normal pediatric day-to-day things?
Yes, in some offices they do, and the offices that agree to have residents there are often some of the best offices around for the reasons we talked about. They're interested in teaching, they're interested in keeping themselves current, and so they are happy to teach and have those resident physicians come in. It would be the same type of situation where your child is seen by a resident, but then the regular physician that you know and have the relationship with will still come in and see your child and be involved in your child's care. They are just learning to see what it's like in a private practice setting. So they're gaining that experience while working with your regular physician to care for your child.
So we only have just a minute and a half left. Kind of wrap it up for us, but in this little wrap-up, would you please just explain, because we hear these words on television shows, attending physician, resident, chief resident, what all these different roles? Who's kind of at the top of the food chain there?
Okay, the top of the food chain is the supervising physician, which is the attending physician. They are in charge of your team. Underneath that, there might be fellows. These are people that have done a residency and now are specializing further. For example, I did a fellowship in pediatric emergency medicine after completing my residency training. So then down a step would be the residents, and that's the bulk of physicians in training that are out there. They are specializing in pediatrics, internal medicine, surgery. They can then go off and be practitioners on their own, or they can further specialize. Below the residents would be the medical students. Those are not yet physicians. They cannot see patients by themselves. They cannot prescribe medications, but they are still in medical school to learn to be a doctor.
That's a great explanation, and I think that clears it up for so many people that have been so confused about that. So yes, residents are real doctors, and they're very well trained, and they are under the guise of the attending physician. So you don't have to worry, listeners, if the resident comes in to work with your child because somebody is keeping an eye on them, and they just may be helping to keep an eye on your pediatrician and keep them kind of on their toes. And that's really what it's all about, to get the best care for our children. Healthy Children, that's the name of the show. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for the award-winning Radio MD. Stay well and stay tuned.